heaven of God. Or the court of heaven is called now. So Daniel 7:9 told us, I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame. It wields a burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated. And the books were what? Were open. The court were seated. The court was seated. And the books were open. Are you guys with me? Are you guys with me? Are you here? So if there is the justice system of God, there should be a place where that, where matters are being addressed, where legal issues are being addressed. Many weeks ago, a couple months ago, I taught you about something called the legalities of the spirit. The legalities of what? The legalities of what? There are legal foothold or principles that people apply or implement to get certain results in the physical. Whether you accept it or not, whether you agree to it or not, the physical realm, this three-dimensional realm, is influenced by the spiritual realm. This three-dimensional realm is influenced by the world, by the spiritual realm. So before anything happens here in this three-dimensional realm, it is influenced from somewhere. I told you last week, Monday, it is either influenced from the spiritual realm or it is influenced from your mental realm. The physical realm is just like a printer. If you talk about the computer system, we talk about the CPU and the monitor. But there's a device called the what? The printer. That you have the printed thing that you've done on this keyboard that is being processed through the CPU that you see on the monitor. But the printed aspect of it is seen what? Through the printer. Or is seen on the monitor. Whatever thing you saw on the monitor was processed through the keyboard, on the keyboard through the CPU before you could see it on your system. So the physical realm is just like a monitor system where you see the things that have been influenced either by the spiritual realm, either in the spiritual realm or in the mental realm. Giving you an illustration. If you see a woman that has passed the age of getting married and she's not getting married, there are three possible problems. There are three possible. Number one, she's picky. Number two, character issues. Number three, spiritual problems, demonic issues. And I've told you the most easiest to solve is the what? Is the demonic factor. Why? By the virtue of the realms of the spirit, you can solve the demonic factor. But the most difficult to settle are the character problems and her being picky. The reason why she's picky is because she has a mindset. There's a mindset running her. The reason why she has character issues is because there's a mindset. That one will be done by the transformation of the world, which takes time. So for you to see a different outcome in the physical, you have to work on her mental capacity. You have to fix it first. So if there is the justice system of God, that means there are legalities to the realms of the spirit. So it is your spiritual intelligence, how intelligent you are spiritually, that will tell how you can navigate the spiritual realm to get a possible outcome that you like. The thing is, whether you're doing something or not, you see an outcome. Practical example is this, is the in the agricultural field called, if a land is not cultivated, something will grow there. It's called what? You might not like it, but something will definitely grow what? The Bible says a child left to himself will do what? Will destroy himself. Why? That child is a bare land that has not been cultivated. So therefore, the things you see there will lead to what? Destruction. So the court of God was seated and books were open. Why was the court seated? The court was seated to adjust the courts were seated to address spiritual matters. The court was seated to address spiritual, the court was seated to address spiritual matters. The justice system of God. Psalms 89. Verse 14. Verse 14.
Justice and judgment are the habitations of their throne.
Justice and what?
Judgment.
Justice and what?
Judgment.
Are
the habitation of thy throne.
They are the habitations of thy throne.
Mercy and truth shall go before thy face.
New King James, NKJV, say righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So there is something called the justice system of God. The book of Hebrew, which we read, told you that every disobedience and transgression received a just word, a just reward, and a just recompense. Why? Because that throne which God sits on, that is what makes him God. Bible says he's the righteous judge. But remember, scripture now says, if God were to judge iniquity, nobody will stand. Nobody. So there is a system that was put in place for us to be able to serve. What's the system? It's a mercy and truth go before your face. That's why Lamentations now tells you, it is by the mercies of God that we are not what? Consumed. So last night when we were praying and that information came that there is a court case being addressed, we addressed it. And if there is a court case, remember, a cause causeless will not stand. A cause causeless will not rest. So if there is a court case being adjourned against the church of Gwagwalada, against the people of the church of Gwagwalada, that means there is a legal right for that cause, for that court case to be heard. So by spiritual intelligence, we have to address it. What was the next thing? We have to do what? Plead for mercy. Mercy is the bias system of God. We saw it. We were told the blood of an infant was shed. The highest form of sacrifice is human sacrifice. And the highest form of innocent human sacrifice or pure innocent sacrifice you have is that of an infant. Confirming what we saw. You saw a lady that had a baby that was crying. Now, to pervert any land, I told you last week, on Monday, I shall leave the town. To pervert any land, to teach the spiritual balance of any land, number one, shed blood. Number two, sexual perversion. Number three, bow to idol. I told you this. To teach the spiritual balance. Now, the demons and the principalities of this, they know these principles. So what do? They have to get the humans to do this thing. They cannot violate the spiritual law. For any spiritual entity to function on it, they need a human vessel. They need a human vessel. So the spiritual entities, the demons, the principles, they know these principles. So therefore, they get the human factors, which are the third factor, by parties, to enforce these things. So if blood was shed and that of an infant was shed, what is the next thing you have to cry for? You have to cry for mercy. You have to cry for mercy. Why? The throne which God sits on is made of righteousness and justice. Is made of righteousness and justice. And God is called the just judge. for a court case to happen, there are some entities, some factors that have to be in place. There has to be the judge. There has to be the accused. There has to be the accuser. For a court case to hold, there has to be what? Who? The judge. There has to be accused. And there has to be what? The accuser. There has to be the accuser. There has to be the accuser. Now remember, God is the judge. He's the one that will judge the earth. God is the judge. But who is the accused? Who is the accuser? Revelation. Well, let's start with the judge. The judge is God, Abi. Luke chapter 18, verse 1.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up.
Why was the parable shown? That men ought always to do what?
Pray.
And not faint. And he spake a parable unto them to this end. That men ought always to what?
Pray.
Why do men ought always to pray?
He said.
Why? Wait. There is a way to study the Bible. In as much as you need the spirit of revelation to study the Bible, you also need intelligence. Why do men ought always to pray? Why do men ought always to pray? Which is the next thing he tells you. Saying, there was a city. There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded what? Man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God... shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with him? I tell you that he will avenge him what? He will avenge him what? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Now, I asked the question earlier. He gave a parable to this end that men ought always to do what?
Pray.
Now, men are always praying. What kind of prayer they pray? Because we have been taught that a prayer prayed more than once is a prayer prayed out of faith. That if you believe God heard you the first time, why are you praying the second time? But Jesus gave a parable that men ought always to pray. And what was the end of the parable? That when the Son of Man comes, will he find what? That means the reason why the widow kept coming to the judge consistently, and she had faith. The reason why the widow kept coming consistently is because she had what?
Faith.
So, in other words, your level of faith is seen in how persistent you are in the place of prayer concerning what? A matter. Say, shall not God avenge his own elect? So, in this case, God is the just what? Judge. And what was the widow crying? He was crying, avenge me of who? My adversary. Who is our adversary? Who is our accuser? Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. You alone at world. 9.
And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent.
Called the devil.
And Satan.
Which deceived the whole world.
He was cast out into the earth.
He was cast out into the earth.
And angels were cast out.
And the angels were cast out with him.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven.
Now is come salvation.
Now is come salvation.
And strength.
And strength.
And the kingdom of our God.
And the kingdom of our
and
God.
And the power of his Christ.
And the power of his Christ.
For the accuser of our brethren is cast down.
For the accuser of our brethren is
cast down.
For the accuser of our brethren is what?
Cast down.
What does he do?
Which accuse them before our God day and night.
He accuses the brethren before God. How often?
Yeah.
How often?
Yeah.
And you want to pray on the matter once. And you want to pray on the matter what? Shalama tolo broko o salaba. But how often does he accuse the brethren? So now, by revelation, who was that adversary that the widow was crying to the king to avenge him of, her of? It's the devil. Bible speaking, the book of 1 Peter, that your adversary, the devil, roaming round about looking for whom to do what? You have one adversary, it's the devil. The witch in the village is only yielding himself to the devil as a conduit or as a tool to be used by the devil to harm you. The witch is not the problem. Fix the demon, the witch will stop. Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So who is the judge?
God.
Who is the accuser? Who is the accused?
Brethren.
The brethren. So now, what is the solution? The solution is in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He spake a parable to this end, that men do what? That men do what? Ought always to pray. Why? Because there is a matter. There is somebody accusing you day and night. There are legalities. God, you said in your word that you should hold your peace, I will fight for you, or I will fight for you. True of us. So if, as a believer, another believer hurts you, and you tell the believer, I leave you to God. It is not the devil that is fighting that believer right now. It's God that is fighting that believer. And the Bible says, if God be against you, if God be for you, now, money situation where God is not against you, what will not happen to you? Let's not make it look as though we are all flawless, we don't hurt each other. There's an outlined way of handling conflict in the body of Christ. See, if a believer sins against you, what should you do? Report the believer to the church. No, go and meet the church, the believer, and address the problem. And if the believer does not listen, report him to an elder. And if he does not listen to the elder, let's go there. So that we know precisely what we're doing. It should be Matthew. It should be Matthew. You deserve no glory. So we offer you glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, should be the book of Matthew there, but. Spirit of God, help me, Lord. Glory. Oh, glory. You So we offer you glory. Scripture says, so in a situation where I'm trying to find the scripture, a believer ought against you. And the Bible says, do not revenge. Vengeance is mine, says the word. So now, if that believer, things start judging against the believer, how do you think the believer will address the matter? Because it is God himself that is fighting the believer. We've seen cases in church where somebody borrows money from another believer and does not pay back. And the believer thinks it is his right. There has been a case where a keyboard is raped a choir member. And when the guy was caught by the church, he was doing as though nothing can happen to him. And the man of God looked at him and told him, sure, you think nothing will happen to you, Abby? We'll leave you to God. The spirit that made him do that thing to a church member made him to do it to a general's daughter. And what will now happen to him there? Who is now fighting? It's not the devil that is fighting him. No, we think, look at me. We think the church does not have power. The church has power. The Bible says that for us to go to unbelievers to be judged by believers in their court, there were unbelievers in their court. It is better for you to suffer what? Lost. You've not seen that one too. Jesus is Lord. Oh, Kabasa, Bakobo, celebrate. It was Apostle Paul that was speaking. Okay, it should be Corinthians. Okay. You have data. You deserve enough glory. So we offer you glory. Glory. Please, change the screen of your phone. Is Opera Mini you use? Don't you use Chrome? It's not open. Oh, yeah. First, read for me.
For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside?
Mm-hmm.
Do not you judge those who are within?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. 1 Corinthians
5:12.
You people are not reading your Bible.
But them that are without God judge it. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. That is.
Give me. Hallelujah. 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 So they are legal, they are legalities. If a believer sins against a believer, if a believer hurts a believer, there is a way to handle it. God has told you, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. And especially if the guy is a believer, keep quiet. God will be the one to fight the person. So from that believer perspective that God is fighting, how will he fix the problem? It is easier when the devil is the one fighting. When it is demonic word. When it is demonic factors that is judging, that is affecting you. But how about in the situation, it is God himself that is fighting you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, Falikon, no salabata. See, there, any of you having a matter against another, go to the law of the unjust and not judge before the saints. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge smaller matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more the things pertaining this world? How much more the things pertaining what? This world. So don't you know? Why are you going to the court of unbelievers to be judged by unbelievers? Can't you judge this matter amongst yourself? Don't you know that we will judge angels? So there's the legal system of God. If a believer ought against a believer, scripture says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Have you? Hold your peace, I will do what? So question, from the perspective of that believer that God is fighting, how will he solve the matter? How will he solve the issues? Say, it is good for you to suffer wrong. Let's continue reading. If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, and set them to judge who is least esteemed in the church, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is no wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother, goeth to law with his brother, and that before onward unbelievers. Now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather suffer to be what? Defrauded. No, but you do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor all those people that say it is good for you to suffer wrong. Accept to be cheated. Accept to be what? Accept to be cheated. Instead of you taking your fellow believer to court, that you will be judged by an unbeliever. He said, is there no wise person among you that will sort this matter? Is there no wise person among you that will settle this matter? Is there no wise person among you that will settle this matter? Is there no wise person among you that will settle this matter? So why are you going to court handling this thing, handling these issues like this before unbelievers? It is to your shame. Why? We are the ones that will judge angels. So if we cannot handle matters pertaining to this life, how can we judge angels? I've told you before. I've told you before that we have a standard in the kingdom. That standard is very high. Apostle Paul says, the love of God constraineth us. So for the fact that you offend us and we keep quiet, we don't sin, it doesn't mean we're stupid. It's scripture that is holding us back. It's scripture that's holding us back. We're having land issues. Two families are dragging over the properties of the father. They are all believers. You don't know scriptures. These are legal things. Legal foothold. Now, the question now is, I was coming from the perspective of the believer that is the offender that offends another believer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. You are trying to address conflict resolution in what? In the kingdom, Abby? Matthew 18, verse 15. So moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall not hear thee, if she shall hear thee, thou shalt gain thy brother. But if he shall not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he shall neglect to hear it to the church, let him be unto thee as a hating and what? A publisher. Three methods to handle a conflict. If somebody offends you, brother, this is what you did against me. I don't like it. And if the person does not budge, if the person does not apologize, get two persons to bear you witness. This is what this person did, or this is what this person did. But the first thing is to do what? Go to the person first. If the person does not listen, bring it to one or two witnesses with you to fix the problem. If the person does not listen, bring it to the church. Which is where I now give the illustration of that guy that raped the sister, that felt as though the church cannot do anything. In the physical, the church can do something. To treat the person as what? A publisher, as a hating. Hand the person over to the justice system of the world. But if the church keep quiet, my brother, you will pay for it. You will pay for it. So there are legalities in our kingdom. Are you here? There are legalities. So how do we handle matters? It is in that look. If the brethren are being accused by the devil, by the accuser, day and night, continually, and God is the judge, and the accuser stands his position or takes his role as the accuser of the brethren, what are the accused doing? Luke chapter 18, verse 1. What does it say?
18, verse 1.
Men ought always to do what? Men ought always to do what? There are prayers you have to pray till you see the physical manifestation of the result. Especially the prayers of intercession. Interceding for your land. Interceding for your people. Interceding for your family. Interceding for your siblings. Interceding for souls. The only prayer that I think, the prayer of faith that should work once is, Father, I need a phone. Father, give me this. There are different prayers. See, before you ask, your heavenly Father knew that you had need of these things, and he will give them to you. It's different from the prayer of intercession. What's the prayer? You have to keep asking. You have to pray over the same thing. You have to keep praying. See, he gave a parable to this end that men ought always to pray. Are you here? He gave a prayer to this end that men ought always. So what is the prayer that comes? What is the means of guaranteed breakthrough? Is consistent prayers. Believers are lazy. No, we are lazy. An average occultic person, an average witch does not sleep at night. That's when they are active. But we are busy. Can pray anytime, God hears you anytime. But remember, it is when men slept that the enemy did what? came as soldiers. It was when men are asleep. We are asleep. So what are you doing when men are asleep? What are you doing when the enemy is soldiers? What are you doing? We got to pray. We will pray. Which is balancing the first thing. The first thing is what? Understanding time and season. Knowing what you ought to do. Which is what? Knowledge. Which is what? Knowledge. So when you know what to do, how will you know what to do? You will know it in the place of prayer. That's why the prayer of inquiry is very important. Father, what is wrong? Okay, Father, what now should I do? Said the trouble. First of all, what is wrong? You have to diagnose this first. Then next, what is the solution? Crying has never been a solution. If it would have, no funeral service would have been successful. Why? The tears shed during the funeral service would have been enough to raise the dead. But tears never solved anything. Men ought always to pray. Pray for your families. Pray for the church. Pray for your pastor. Look at me. Pray for your pastor. Especially this first leadership, this first set of leadership. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. The enemy fights strategically. Bible says, strike the shepherd, and the sheep will do what? He knows who to strike. He knows what to do. He knows who to strike. But you are negligent. Pray for your pastor. Learn to take our time. 20 minutes a day. In your prayer schedule, in your touch schedule, Father, straighten pastor. Father, give him wisdom. See, Deo Shalibra Kobo Silia Balabakara. See, David ruled Israel by the skillfulness of his hands. By the skillfulness of his word, his hands. See, by the Lord, I was able to leap over a wall. By the Lord, I was able to keep 10,000. By the Lord, I was able to go to war. Father, help our pastor. Give him more grace, more anointing, more wisdom. What we do is demand. Somebody has a problem that has no, it no concern you. But the person comes and what? Meet you. And you take up that problem. And you think those demons will be happy with you? I told you last week of a man of God that casted out of a demon from a lady. And the demon appeared to him and warned him that if you catch the day you backslide, and the demon warned him. The demon didn't speak through the lady. You understand what I'm saying? Eh? The demon didn't speak to. There is a difference when the demon is speaking through the lady. You might think it's the leader. No. The demon, after being casted, that appeared to him. It was the demon section. He was the only one that saw the demon. And warned him. If I told you yesterday that Jesus visited us, there are chances that you would have doubted, but he came out from you. I know you're talking. No, you're not talking. You were the one that said this today. Expect encounters. The Lord visited. I expected it. I saw. You that said it didn't see. Why? If I could teach you hearing God, how to hear God, then I should believe you when you say God said. I should believe you when you say God said. Are you with me? Are you with me? I watched this Christian movies that this one was about King David and Saul. They portrayed the scene where David was waiting for Saul was waiting for Samuel to come and make the sacrifices, and they portrayed it in such a way that this is not the scriptural account. This is the movie account. They portrayed in such a way that his army people were persuading him to do the sacrifice. That he should do the sacrifice. That how is he sure the man hears God? Then Saul now smiled. If you doubt him hearing God, that means you have to doubt me being king, because he was the one that said God said I should be what? Mm-hmm. So if you doubt him hearing God, you should doubt me being what? Being king. And he struck. So if you doubt him hearing God, that means you should doubt me being king, because he was the one that said God made me king. Are you guys here? We got work to do. Have a lot of work to do. So we're gonna be